Time to pick up the Metro PCS hotline, go behind enemy lines, check in with Dan Hoard, play-by-play announcer for the Cincinnati Bengals. Dan, appreciate you calling in. Let's start with the guy that was the rookie quarterback last year, because we're doing a little bit of rookie quarterback talk around here this season. From your understanding and what you saw and what you know, what made Andy Dalton so successful in 2011?
You would have never known he was a rookie by watching him play last year. He just has a demeanor about him that says, I've been here before, nothing is going to rattle me. And no matter what an opposing defensive coordinator threw at him, he seemed to have a good grasp of it and handled himself extremely well. He wasn't perfect last year. He had his moments where he looked like a rookie, but for the most part, he definitely gave Cincinnati fans the assured feeling that they were going to be in very good hands for the future.
Well, you're looking at this football team and just looking at the way they're building this defense and allowing, Dalton to go out there and move around. It starts on that defensive side of the ball with Marvin Lewis. And you look at the guys that they brought in, Nate Clemens as well as Newman coming over from Dallas. How have they been able to revamp this defense to continue to keep up the old Kevin Colway?
Well, the good news is they have a great pass rush. So even though their cornerbacks are getting up there in years, Nate's 32, Terrence Newman is 33, they don't have to cover guys for all that long because the Bengals are currently number one in the NFL in sacks. They had six last week. They had six the week before. Three of the four guys on the defensive line are exceptional pass rushers. Geno Atkins in the middle and Michael Johnson and Carlos Dunlap on the outside. Add a solid run stopper in the middle and Domantas Peko, and you've got a very good front four.
Dan, I wanted to ask you, everybody knows how good A.J. Green is on the outside for a young receiver, but, you know, Gresham really controls the middle of that football field, and then you have Hawkins and Ben who contribute. So it's really the supporting cast that's a solid supporting cast, but everybody wants to talk about, you know, the flexibility of A.J. Green. He can go deep. He has run-after-catch abilities. Maybe just give us an oversight on that receiving core.
Well, it definitely starts with A.J. Green, and earlier today he was named the AFC's Offensive Player of the Month for the first month of the season, so he's off to a great start in his second year. But Jermaine Gresham was a Pro Bowler as well last year. He is a very good player, very high draft pick a couple of years ago by Cincinnati coming out of Oklahoma. And then the other guys were a bit of a mystery coming into the season. They let their other top two wide receivers go at the end of the year. Jerome Simpson is in Minnesota, and Andre Caldwell is in Denver. But Andrew Hawkins has been a tremendous find as a slot receiver, a little jitterbug kind of guy who's tremendous with his yards after catch. And then Armon Binns is a guy that Cincinnati fans are familiar with because he played his college ball at the University of Cincinnati. He had two great years finishing up his college career. He was a practice squad guy last year for the Bengals, but he's doing an excellent job in his first year on the field.
Bengals play-by-play voice Dan Hoard with us on the Metro PCS hotline. I want to go back to Dalton for a moment. How's year two for him besides the obvious stats? Does he look like kind of a, if he didn't look like a rookie last year, I guess he's not going to look like a rookie this year. But does he look noticeably better, you know, in year two?
He does. I mean, it's only been a quarter of the season, so when you project stats, you realize that it might not play out this way. But right now he's on a pace to pass for more than 4,400 yards. That would shatter Carson Palmer's team record. He's on a pace to throw for 32 touchdowns. He's completing about 68% of his passes. Keep in mind, this was a guy that was the 35th pick in the draft. So he's not like Ryan Tannehill. He's not the eighth overall selection. A lot of teams passed on Andy Dalton last year that needed quarterbacks. He was the sixth quarterback picked last year, and the Bengals definitely found a guy who seems to be the long-term solution in the second round.
Dan, you look at this football team, and over the last few years, just go back 10 years, it's all about the community and just the way that they build up around the Cincinnati Bengals. A little bit up, a little bit down. How has bringing this young quarterback in, how has the fan base been around this young quarterback these last couple of years?
Well, you know, Cincinnati fans endured a tough, tough time during the 1990s. It is referred around here is the lost decade, because the Bengals just could not get out of their own way in the 1990s. Since Marvin Lewis has become the head coach, they've generally been pretty good. He's had six 500 or better seasons in his 9 years here. They've gone to the playoffs three times, including two of the last three. But unfortunately, when they've gone to the playoffs, they've taken a step backward the next season. So in 2009, for example, they won their division, finishing ahead of Baltimore and Pittsburgh. The next year, they went 4-12. So fans around here are a little bit reluctant to dive in head first. They're kind of dipping a toe in the water. They want to believe. They want to think that the Bengals have turned the corner for once and for all. But I think a lot of them have not completely embraced the team yet. I think they're getting there, but I think there's still a lot of people that have endured some tough years in the past that are not 100% committed.
Dan, I wanted to ask you a question about maybe deficiencies going after four games. You look at the Miami Dolphins, you could say, well, maybe the pass defense needs to tighten up, you know, possibly make a kick here or there and not turn the football over. Through four games, I know Cincinnati's very good at getting to the passer, but maybe where are they deficient or like to improve after four games?
Well, frankly, their defense was not good in weeks 1, 2, and 3. They played very well last week in Jacksonville. They held the Jaguars to about 200 total yards and only one touchdown, but they are the Jaguars. And Blaine Gabbert is the quarterback, and he did not play all that well last week. And the Bengals, to their credit, did a great job on Maurice Jones-Drew holding him to 38 yards. But prior to that, the defense more or less got shredded in their first three games. So the question is, has Cincinnati figured something out and kind of reverted to their form from last year where their defense was very solid, or was it just one good game against a mediocre offense? I guess we'll find out a lot more this Sunday.
Yeah, that's a good point there. Some good insight from Dan Horrid, Bengals play-by-play analyst on the Metro PCS Hotline. We have just another minute or two here, so I'll ask you about it. I heard it might be cool and rainy up there. What kind of weather should the Miami folks expect?
Oh, no.
Well, it's certainly not going to be Miami weather. I would not expect hot and humid, that's for sure. That is a possibility from what I understand. It's a field turf playing surface, so unless it pours, the footing is generally pretty good. And I have not seen a forecast suggesting that it's going to pour. Okay. So if it rains, I don't expect it to be a huge factor.
All right, there you go. Not too bad, but I heard mid-50s. We're not going to see the mid-50s until, like, December here, and even then for, like, a day or two.
Right.
But I guess it's easier going to the cool weather than coming down to the hot weather if you're used to that. Dan, appreciate it. Have a great call on Sunday. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having me on.